Pope Benedict says he hopes this week's meetings with Irish bishops to discuss the clergy sex abuse scandal in Ireland will eventually help to bring healing to those who've been abused, but victims groups are calling the meetings a charade. The meetings follow two reports out of Ireland last year documenting decades of sex and psychological abuse of children in Catholic-run schools and orphanages, reports which also said Catholic church leaders in Dublin spent decades protecting child-abusing priests. Paddy Agnew is the Vatican correspondent for the newspaper The Irish Times. He covered the meetings between the Pope and the Irish bishops and joins us this morning from Rome. Paddy, good morning and thanks a lot for speaking to Morning Edition.
Good morning, Bob.
Paddy, tell us more about what the Pope is saying about the clergy sex abuse scandal in Ireland now that he's met with the Irish bishops.
Well, for the moment, he's not saying very much in the sense that one of the reasons for him to meet with the Irish bishops was to have their input into a forthcoming pastoral letter, which is going to address the Irish people. But that is going to be a very significant document in the sense that it will be a pastoral letter that will deal with the whole concept of sex, clerical child sex abuse. And it will be the first time ever that a Pope has actually dedicated an entire document to that. We haven't had a resume of the inputs of all the bishops over the last 2 days, but what we know is that they was a pretty frank and full exchange of information between the Pope, the bishops and the Curia, and the bishops came out of it feeling very encouraged. And there was a lot of talk of renewal, reconciliation, penitence, a sense that we know we've failed, but we have got to get the show back on the road. We've got to regain credibility and the support of the Irish faithful. But it's very short, Bob, on hard line decisions that you can point to, hard facts.
Did the Pope give the Irish bishops concrete directions on what to do next?
Well, no, he didn't, in the sense that he doesn't have to, because the Irish bishops have already got their own set of guidelines out. He doesn't have to do that. What he's doing is encouraging them on to continue to try and regain credibility with the Irish faithful and to try and find ways of making reparations to the victims of clerical sex abuse. These are things he said before. There's nothing new. But I think, Bob, the most disappointing aspect of the 2-day meeting was that many people felt that Benedict might be able to or should pull off some sort of symbolic gesture, such as meeting with the victims of the Irish victims of clerical sex abuse, and there was no talk about that. There was no talk about the controversial question of bishops who may or may not resign.
And the victims groups have said that the meetings so far have simply not been enough. What do these groups want from the church?
What the victims clearly want is a meeting, some sort of recognition from Pope Benedict of the pain and the sorrow and the suffering they've been through, and a meeting in Rome. Some of the bishops turned up in Rome with letters from victims groups asking for that meeting, and so far there's been no response to that.
Boston's former Cardinal Bernard Law, who resigned from his position in Boston because of the way he handled clergy sex abuse here, now holds, as we all know, a top Vatican position in Rome, and the Irish group Voice of the Faithful is calling for his resignation. Why is there so much anger in Ireland against Cardinal Law?
Well, I don't think it's against Cardinal Law in himself. It's against what he represents, because he seemed to be the most he's the most famous, the most influential senior church figure who was deemed to have mishandled cases of clerical sex abuse, and therefore since that is a problem, that one of the big problems now for the church is the question of episcopal responsibility, the responsibility of the bishops. I mean, it's quite clear the church knows what to do with priests who abuse children. They're basically out of the priesthood, and the matter is referred to the police authorities. The Irish bishops accept that, the US bishops accept that, but what the church doesn't know how to deal with is what do you do with those senior church figures who knew about priests in their diocese abusing them and didn't handle it well, as in the case of Bernard Law and as in the case of a number of the bishops, Irish bishops, mentioned in the recently published Murphy Commission report.
Was Law involved at all in the talks with the Irish bishops?
Oh, goodness, no. Bernard Law keeps a very low-profile role when it comes to questions like clerical sex abuse these days.
Let me ask you one more question, Patty. You quote a sex abuse survivor in your story today, very unhappy with the meetings this week. He says the Catholic Church is really more interested in damage control than in the concerns of people like him who were abused. How much damage has this scandal done to the Catholic Church in Ireland?
Well, Bob, it has done untold damage. I mean, basically, Ireland, in the space of the last 15 years, has gone from being a very Catholic, very obedient Catholic country to a country where, you know, a huge percentage, maybe 60% of people, simply have lost belief in the church.
Has that translated into smaller crowds in churches on weekends? Do you know?
Yes, it has. It's translated into two things: fewer numbers in churches and a terrible problem finding priests for the priesthood. There, you know, the orders, the numbers of people being ordained is, you know, we had a year ago, we had in the largest diocese in the country just one new priest. That the largest archdiocese in the country is Dublin, of 1 million people, just one new priest for that entire archdiocese.
Patty Agnew, Vatican correspondent for the Irish Times, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Okay, Bob.